last week we started a sermon series simply called Rewards, Set Up Your Future Now. And a big part of that is really getting an eternal perspective of what God has in store, not just for us then, but how we maximize our time that we have on this earth. Not just trying to survive, but to really thrive in what God has planned for us. And a big motivator, it's not wrong, it's not selfish, but to think about the rewards that God will give once we are in heaven. Now, you may be here going, well, I just want to get into heaven. Well, okay, that's a pretty good goal. But certainly we don't want you around here to be so short-sighted that that is your only goal. So when Darren talks about igniting change in hundreds, he talks about then ignite change in thousands, that's about, hey, that's we're living more for eternity now than waiting for it to come then. If you understand that. So we're going to look at two scriptures today. I'm going to move through them a little bit quick, but if you want to look them up in your Bibles, so feel free to do that. It's John chapter 5 and then John chapter 15. And what I did is I did it first in the New Living Translation. Then I want to come back and look at the same verses again in the Message version. And then we'll kind of reference them throughout this morning. But in John chapter 5 and verses 39 and 40, Jesus is having some interaction with some religious people of the day. And he says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. Then in John chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, Jesus says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. Now, when I come back and read those same two verses in the Message version, because if these verses were in black and white, certainly the same verses in the Message are in full color. John chapter 5, verse 39. You have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you'll find eternal life there. But you miss the forest for the trees. The scriptures are all about me. And here I am, standing right before you, and you aren't willing to receive from me the life you say you want. Now, before I go to the next verse, I just want to highlight something. Just going to prompt this. That last little part of this scripture, I believe there are people in this room that you have been looking for a specific kind of life when you're following Jesus. And I do believe that as Jesus is revealing some things here, he's going to reveal some things to you about the life that you say you want. Yeah, let's go and look at John 15 in the Message version. It says, you didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. Now, before I give you the name, I want to read, I printed it on paper. This person received an award of one of the 10 most admired men in the world. Received that award 61 times and 54 times consecutively. They were clergymen of the year from the National Pilgrim Society. They received the Distinguished Service of Medal of the Salvation Army. They received the Freedoms Foundation Distinguished Persons Award numerous times. They received the Gold Medal Award from the National Institute of Social Science. They received the annual Gutenberg Award of the Chicago Bible Society. They received the Gold Award of the George Washington Carver Memorial Institute for their contribution to race relations. They were Speaker of the Year in 1964. They received the Gold Plate Award from the American Academy of Achievement. They received the National Citizenship Award by the Military Chaplain Association. They received the Wisdom of Honor Award, the Big Brother of the Year Award. They received the Torch of Liberty plaque. They received the George Washington Honor of Medal. They received the honor, or they were honored by the Morality and Media. This is back when it existed. Fostering the principles of truth, taste, inspiration, and love in the media. They received the International Brotherhood Award from the National Conference of Christians, the Distinguished Service Award from the National Association of Broadcasters. They received the Franciscan International Award. They received the George Washington Medal Award for Patriotism. They received the Direct Selling Association's Salesman of the Decade Award. They received the Philip Award. They received the Distinguished Communications Medal. They received the Religious Broadcasting Hall of Fame Award. They received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian award. They received the National Religious Broadcasters Award of Merit. They received the Congressional Gold Medal, the highest honor Congress can bestow on a private citizen. They received the Good Housekeeping Most Admired Man Award 5 years in a row. Some of us are trying to get 5 days. They received from Ronald Reagan the Presidential Foundation Freedom Award. They became an honorary Knight of the Order of the British Empire and North Carolina's Favorite Son Award. Those are just a few awards that Billy Graham received before he passed away in 2018. Clarissa and I had the privilege when we were in Asheville, North Carolina, to go to their training and retreat center. And in the bottom of the basement part of that retreat center, it's a square and it's a halls all the way around with rooms in the center and on the outside. But they have all these glass shelving all the way around. And what took me down this track as I was praying is I went back to that moment. And I actually went and tried to find out how many, and I couldn't actually find a number. But the number of keys to the city that he received from around the world is phenomenal. From Johannesburg, South Africa, to New Delhi, India, to all over the United States. And it was all in this thing. I'm just dumbfounded at how many places of honor this man received. And as we're here today, and he passed away, like I said, in 2018, how many of those awards mean anything to him now? Nothing. Now, I do believe it's reflective of someone who set up his future then. And I got to think, as long as he did not go through this life, and I'm glad I don't have to judge the heart of any person, but if he did it out of the right motive, he's going to be rewarded by the Heavenly Father. But he already received the greatest reward. That's eternal life. The moment, and it wasn't even when he died. The moment he said yes to Jesus, he received eternal life because the Bible says that the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, that's eternal life. That the moment you say yes to him, it's not a destination. It becomes a lifestyle. Let me say that again. Eternal life isn't a destination. It's a lifestyle. And you move into this lifestyle where you are perpetually or never ending bringing glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And so as we looked at last week and the rich young ruler that the disciples, they said, hey, we left everything to follow you. And Jesus made this astounding remark about, hey, everything that you've given up in this life, you're going to get 100-fold in the next. And that's on top of eternal life, which is why if you're just trying to get to heaven, man, that's a low standard. Because Jesus gave that free and willing to anyone who come and say yes to him. Once you've received that, now let's start working towards the ultimate reward, where you can begin to store up treasures in heaven, where Jesus said, moths won't destroy, thieves can't steal. Because 10,000 years times 10,000 years from now, you can enjoy the rewards that Jesus brings. What do they look like? We go get a small picture, but I want to submit this to you this morning, that when it comes to rewards from heaven, if you're taking notes, it's the key understanding, is that heavenly rewards are all about honor. They're all about honor. Do you know that in Scripture, it uses or talks about honor 150 times? I mean, what it does in Scripture, it shows respect of somebody in authority. It shows the worthiness of a person. And I know that may speak to some of your personal theologies in some wrong way, because you like to think, well, everybody's equal. And certainly that someone once said that the ground at the cross is level. But once you get past the cross, the Bible makes sure that we understand that there are some people whose worth in the kingdom is greater than others. And that literally throughout all of eternity, there's going to be this honoring or this recognition. Do you think it's going to be hard for us to find the Apostle Peter? I don't think so. In fact, even when Jesus was, you know, was on the earth and with the disciples, listen, two of the disciples that, you know, they were obviously mama's boys, James and John, because they got their mom to go to Jesus and say, hey, I want my sons to sit on either side. Why did she say that? Because that culture understood that where you sat said everything about your worth and your authority and the respect that was commanded of you. And listen, we have that in earthly, sinful ways, and certainly this is a sinful way if you've ever had to board an airplane. Who gets to go on first? It isn't the crippled. Because when I was traveling in sales, I had a friend that actually traveled with a crutch because he got on the plane sooner. But it's first class. First class gets to go. They always get to go on first. And then you got to walk by them, by the way, and they're already, you know, they're drinking their champagne. And, you know, some of them are paying you no mind. Others are going, yeah, you're not me. And then, of course, you know, the next ones on are the executive platinum, and then the platinum pro, and then the gold, and the gold, whatever, you know how it goes. And then you get on the plane, you walk by all those people, and then they close the curtain. They're trying to make a point. They have honor because of whether the miles or their money, whatever it was, and you don't. Even in people's homes, there are some, you know, it's not so much today. We were never this way in our home, but, you know, dad sat at the head of the table, right? And there were places that you know, the kids, and if it was a big family function, that the kids, they got kicked off the table and had the kids' table. I mean, some of you know about that kind of stuff, right? Because do you remember, because in our culture, in our day-to-day, honor, respect is not like it used to be. You know, I think it was in the 90s. Remember when the cheerleading team went to, maybe it was the soccer team, or a bunch of women went to the White House in flip-flops? That made national news. Because you used to be that you actually respected and honored that institution, that place. I was, I'll sometimes get on IMBD, which is Internet Movie Database, and to just kind of look and say, you know, is this a show that we're going to watch just because of the appropriateness? And as like all things internet, you go on for one thing and you end up over here. You ever do that? Right? And so I start looking at this one thing, and then I went, you know, I wonder about this. I wonder if they're going to do a season two on this. And this is a show that Clarissa and I like trying to start reading. And I started reading comments, not the comments, but the reviews. And it's a judge show. And when the person was writing the comments, they said, I don't even know why we even need to stand when judges come in the room anymore. In their minds, why pay respect to someone that's a judge? Because in our culture, we like to act, and it's only an act, that everybody's equal. And everybody's only equal until you're not. And so we may not like it, but throughout all of eternity, everybody's going to be equally loved, but not everybody is going to be equally rewarded. And not everybody is going to be equally honored. But for those who, especially in our vernacular around here at Bethel, when we say igniting change, those who focus in on what Jesus is doing and keeping up with what Jesus is doing in their world, there is certainly going to be a different response when it comes time to receive honor for what we've done. So I want to give you four reasons this morning, referencing back to those scriptures earlier, on why we should choose to invest. Why should we choose to invest in his kingdom? The first one's critically important to everything else. And it's simply that Jesus is alive and active in the world today. Let me say that again. Jesus is alive and active in the world today. And the reason it's my favorite verse, that John 5, is it's favorite because it's in the Message version, because I can just so see it. Jesus standing in front of these religious people and saying, you've got your noses in the Bible all the time because it's you think there you're going to find the life that you want. But duh, I'm right here. Now, immediately, it's easy for our minds to go, well, yeah, well, he was physically standing right there. But let me tell you something. Jesus is not contained in this book. We understand Jesus from this book. We learn how to recognize what Jesus is doing in here from in here. We can understand what Jesus is doing out there because of what's in here. But Jesus is not contained in this book. I like the writer of Lee. See, you couldn't write all the things he did anyway in the book. And here's the thing we got to get past is that certainly Jesus is alive and active this morning in this place. But he isn't going to just want to meet you in this place. Now, I don't typically, if I offend, I'm not sorry. I typically do this with young people and newer Christian people because they've not been corrupted by religion yet. But if we're in a restaurant or we're at Starbucks and we're sitting, I'll just look around and I'll say, look around a moment. What do you think Jesus is doing? Because Jesus is alive and active in Starbucks, regardless of their Christmas mugs. Jesus is alive and active in Walmart. He's alive and active in the Muslim community. He's alive and active in YMCA. He's alive and active on the golf course. Praise God. He's not in a golf game, just golf course. He's alive and active wherever you are. Jesus is there. And if you think the only place to meet and interact with Jesus is on a Sunday morning or the times that you're in your scriptures, which you should be, you've got it wrong. As someone once said, rumors of his demise are greatly exaggerated. But what happens is we get caught up in all of the news of the day, because you realize we're all going to die of Y2K. Oh, wait, what is it today? Oh, coronavirus. Right. I knew somebody would know what we're going to die of today. Now, wash your hands. Cough into your thing. Do all the things you're supposed to do. But don't live in fear. Because when you watch the news enough, or you read the news enough, and where it used to be watch it, now you get it on Facebook and you don't know if it's true or not, but you didn't know if it was true or not on TV either. But regardless, it's all gloom and doom. And the one part that's right, we are all going to die. And so what happens is we tend to, without even realizing it, the devil makes it seem like Jesus has vacated the country or the city. But imagine what it would be like if the media recorded Jesus was alive and well and active in the world today. So let us tell you what Jesus was up to. Imagine what that would be like. A family lost their daughter in a horrible accident, but the community came around and loved her. Imagine a story like that. Could you imagine a story where The news guy says, the drug-addicted son got thrown in jail because the prayers of his mom. And he's drug-free. Imagine. Imagine if they were able to record a guy who got up the next morning and said, man, I couldn't sleep last night because someone must have been praying for me because all I can think about is eternity and my life without Jesus, and I've got to come to know him. And then the news says, hey, we can stop and clap because a whole family came to Jesus Christ. Amen. So a number of summers sent a young lady to Burma, and she, in her engineering skills, she was helping to make runways for planes to come in and bring medicine in that war-torn country. But she had talked about this movie that was in your bulletin, and we showed the thing on it on Free Burma Rangers. And Clarissa and I went and seen it, I went on Facebook and liked it because I want to know when the DVD goes. We're going to do a movie night because it is Jesus alive and active in real time in some of the hardest, most hurtful, painful places in the world. And you walk away going, well, if they can do that, Jesus, you can help me do this. And it was just a little plug there because it just, what it did to my faith was just raise it up. So Jesus is alive and is active in your world. You say, well, I don't know that he is. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are living proof that he is alive and active in your world. So the next reason is that you simply need to know that Jesus has given each of us some investment capital. You don't even have to come up with your own money because he's given us his Holy Spirit. The moment you said yes to Jesus, kingdom capital came into your life. And I don't care if you are in the seventh grade, if you're in high school, if you're in college, if you're a young family, an older family, empty nesters, retired, you have the capital of the kingdom of God given to you so that you can go and bear fruit. It's the Holy Spirit. He's given it so that you can go and you can see lives changed. So Peter, when he's after the resurrection of Jesus and, you know, the beginning of Acts, he's walking along. He didn't have any money. And he just told the guy, I don't have any money, but what I give you freely in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. And here's what I like, is that what Jesus gives us are things that we can't do, but we can do. What do I mean by that? So oftentimes people think of their lives as this cup. You're not a cup. And if you are a cup, you're a cup with a hole in the bottom. Because you're not intended to walk around all full of Jesus. You're intended to walk around having Jesus flowing through you. And so if you sit here and you believe that, well, I just need Jesus to fill me up and I'll be ready. No, he's saying, no. What you can do is say, I'm going to open up that bottom of the cup. I'm going to do that. Jesus, whatever you bring in, I'm going to pour out. I'm not going to try to hold it. I'm not going to try to contain it. I'm just going to let it go through. Think about it this way. Can you imagine every person's room? Just look around in the room. Look around. Just look around different people. Imagine if every person in this room, whether it's not spring break next week, so if you go to school or you go to work or you go to the grocery store or even after church, you go to a restaurant, whatever it is, if every person in this room prayed for one person they didn't know, how would it change our world? That's a foreign concept for a lot of people. Pray for somebody I don't know. I don't even know how that works. Well, we're going to talk about how that works. But let me tell you something. It's a whole lot easier to pray for somebody that God would do something in their life than it is to tell them they're a sinner on their way to hell and they better turn or burn. Oh, how many of you have done that recently? Right. About equal amount that have prayed for people. Because we think that we're this cup and God is saying, no, you're this conduit. I want you to invest in other people. I have chosen you, which really is the next thing, is that Jesus expects his followers to bear fruit. He expects it. He said, I have chosen you. That means you. That means me. He chose us to bear fruit. Every Christian can pray for someone. You can pray for someone at the grocery store. It doesn't take massive spiritual gifts to recognize when someone's close to you is majorly depressed. Do you know there are others of you? And I tried this, and it was just hilarious. I said, I just kind of felt prompted, and they were in front of me. I said, hey, do you mind if I just pay for your groceries? They were so offended. I said, no. You don't have to do that for us. Oh, no, I just felt Jesus wanted to do that for you, but just, no, that's what I'd like to have done. There are a lot of things that you can do that allow the Spirit to move through you. You could take someone to coffee. I love the fact that I've got a few people in the church that I get these prayer requests from, you know, hey, my coworker has this. We need to be praying. In fact, one particular one, their coworker had stage 4 lung cancer. Okay, that's bad. And they didn't know if they were a Christian or not. And if you ask, you know, it's Texas, everyone's a Christian, right? But there was no real fruit that they would say, hey, I know this person. And they said, of course I'll pray. They got one of those long texts, right? That they went to the doctor and they are in full remission. And they're now saying to them, who do we need to pray for? We need to make sure that we're praying for those who are struggling. Because what happens is that when we say yes and recognize that Jesus is alive and active in the world, and we have something in us that we can give and it will produce, we begin to see the miraculous. So let me take you back to what I said earlier. Imagine if everyone in this room prayed for one person they did not know today. They prayed for one person. What kind of stories would come back next week? Oh, I'm telling you, stories would come. And maybe some of those stories would take a couple weeks. It might take a while. But here's the last thing, and it's simply that fruit, this it's a natural extension of someone that's following Jesus. You do not have to work to have fruit that remains. Because when you follow Jesus, whatever you ask in Jesus' name will be done by the Father. It becomes natural. We become the fruit bearers that Jesus put us on this earth for. And it just starts to happen. Now, I got this illustration, because this is, by the way, an area where Clarissa, my wife, is so much more spiritual than I am. No, I'm serious. It's natural to her. I mean, just natural to her. It's not natural to me. Some of you may think poorly of me after, so that's fine. So yesterday, you know, we live, you know, over in the Eastern Hills area, and we're Josh and I are working on this cable that we were trying to get for the internet in the house. And so we had the garage door, which is on the backside of our house. Garage door is open. And then we had the door going into our house open because we were going back and forth. And we're in the kitchen or in the dining room, and we're working on this thing. And then all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop. And we, no sooner did we look at each other that a different sound went, pop, 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 pop. I love the East Side. I so love the East Side. You know, some of you know this right here, right? East Side, right over our hearts. Immediately, you know, I'm calling 911 because, you know, a few roads down, I'm hoping it was a few roads. Our dog's going nuts. We kept her inside because, you know, that stuff starts flying. We don't want it to land anywhere. And I hang up the phone with the emergency person, and what comes out of Clarissa's mouth that is so natural for her: we need to pray for every person that was over there. Because in that regard, that's just, when I say she's more spiritual, it's just natural to her. She just comes naturally. So we stopped, and, you know, the other, she made me pray, is like, you know, you guys all do. But the fact of the matter is that God is, he develops in you, these things just start to come out. You can't help it. It just comes. So let me kind of finish up. I want to give you, before you, because I really want you all to start doing this week. And there's four things real quick that when it comes to investing, that you need to simply do. You need to pray. And you just say, Lord, I'm opening up the bottom of the cup. And this, by the way, this is a big part of what Spark is about tonight. I'm opening up the bottom of the cup. I want you to start flowing through me. Would you just help me? I say this to the Lord. Lord, I'm a knucklehead. I've started a whole I can't or I don't know how list. Instead of trying to act like I don't have them, I'm just going to list them before God. Because quite possibly in his economy, he wants to take those I can'ts and I don't knows, and he wants to do and he wants to show. And so it's a place of prayer. Lord, would you help me? And then make a connection. Make the connection, whatever it is. So I'm out at Meadowbrook and I'm golfing and I asked this guy, I said, can I join you? Because I didn't want to wait too long when I'm golfing. I want to move through. And I start talking with him. And as I'm talking with him, I'm conscious, Lord, are you working in this guy's life? What are you doing here? What's going on? And it wasn't the words that he said, but it was the way he said them. And he was really isolated. We had a really cool connect. He worked for a manufacturing company that sells screen printing. And I'm like, oh man, I was in specialty advertising. And we talked about all sorts of things. And so I'm saying, that's number three, is that kind of asking that question things. But then I'm listening to what he's saying. Now get this now. I'm also listening to what the Spirit is saying. You listen to the words intently, but you also listen to the Spirit. Because I would have no qualms of going, hey, are you a follower of Jesus? What's going on in your life? But I got a little check going, no, don't go there. And so the Lord said, invite him to the men's golf outing. So that's what he did. Well, that was really hard. I mean, I had fear of rejection, had uncertainty. How was he going to answer? No, I had none of that. It was easy. Hey, we got some guys that are going to be golfing on Saturday. Would you like to come and join us? It was as if I offered him $100 bill, just the quick look in his face. And he goes, oh no, I can't. I got to get ready for a trip. But next time we meet, I'll consider it. Because in his mind, he's probably thinking, we're never meeting again. But imagine the God that I served that maybe set something up for later. So as you pray, ask the question, where are you from? What do you like to do? You married? You got kids? Are you a millionaire? No, don't ask that question. But ask questions. But listen to what they say. And then listen to what the Spirit is saying. If you've got to talk more to them, then you got a pride issue. And you need to deal with it. They're the important one because he's the important one. When he's the important one, what they say, what they do, it matters. On the back of your notes, there's this cup. There's this name there. Don't put someone's name down there. We're going to take communion here in a moment. And when we take communion, communion is about, it's about this cup. And in fact, I want to read out of Luke 22. Jesus, it says, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my sufferings begin. For I will tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this cup and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to it to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and he gave it to the disciples, said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then listen to these last words. After supper, he took another cup of wine and he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. The cup was a sign of God honoring this relationship that he would have with Jesus' followers. And Jesus said, I'm not going to drink. In other words, he's also saying, I'm not going to lift the cup until we are all together again. When we lift the cup together, we are honoring and paying the rightful respect and worthiness to Jesus Christ. And I think that one of the reasons that Jesus is going to wait is that he's going to be at this head of the table, don't know what it's going to look like, and he's going to lift the cup. And that cup is going to be honoring his Father. And we're going to all lift him together. He said, but until then, lift it unto yourselves. So this brings me back to the cup on the back of your notes there. If you will take the challenge with me this morning, even if you're online, you can still do it. If you will say, Lord, will you give me somebody I don't know at this moment? Maybe you know, maybe it's somebody you've interacted with slightly, or someone at the grocery store, or somebody at the gym, or whatever, but you don't really know them. Lord, would you open an opportunity for me to connect with them? If you'll do that, you're going to find that this week the Lord is going to do something where he's going to nudge you and say, ask him this. And when you do, you're going to learn their name. And then you're going to go home and flip that thing back and write their name as a sign unto the Lord that you're believing that they're going to be the fruit that's lasting, because he wants to use you to make sure that their name is written on a cup that's going to go up before the name of Jesus. And that's going to bring glory and honor to Jesus until we all do it together with Jesus unto the Father. I think that'd be a beautiful thing. That'd be a beautiful thing. Trust the Lord in it. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll help you along the way. I guarantee you. Don't expect an outcome. Don't think about that. Jesus, I'm just going to listen to you. I'll make the connection. I'll ask the questions. Whatever you do, Lord, whatever you do is fine. And then begin to pray for that person. I just yesterday, because I long for people that I can open a relationship with, that I can share Jesus or point them in a stronger relationship with Jesus than they've ever had before. And they texted me. And that was a victory for me. Now for you, it may be liking you on Facebook so you can open up a behind the scenes conversation. But the Lord wants us to make new connections. Let me say one other thing before we partake, because there are some of you that, and I've had this over the years, hasn't been recent, but I've had people that have come to me and the most sincere prayer request, will you just help me find a different job? It's full of horrible, heathenistic people. And I just want to work with a bunch of Christians. But Jesus, I'm always nice. I smile and I come up with a appropriate political answer. But I walk away thinking, you're saying, Jesus, get me out of here. And Jesus is saying, get me in there. And I think, though, this is where the church has gotten. And I believe that Jesus wants to get us into some areas. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you that, Lord, we have eternity to look forward to. But Lord, I pray that this morning you begin to develop in us an ability to see your activity in our lives. In fact, before we partake of communion, I think just across the room, can we, whether it's maybe take your hands and maybe put your, fingers over your eyes, or maybe just even open your heart, and can we ask the Holy Spirit to give us the sight to see Jesus's activity in our world today? I don't take this the wrong way. I don't need to see Jesus' activity in Trump. I need to see Jesus' activity in my next door neighbor. I don't need to see Jesus' activity in people that I see on TV. I need to see Jesus' activity in people that I see on the east side of Fort Worth, wherever you're at. Jesus, will you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to develop the sight to be able to see your activity in and around our world? Not just in our family, but Lord, in our neighborhoods, in the places that we frequent often. God, help us to see your activity so that, Lord, we might step in and spend the commodity of the Spirit that, Lord, you've given us, so that, Lord, we might see lasting fruit, that, Lord, as much as we like to talk about love and grace and mercy, all that stuff's true, but, Lord, the reality is you still expect You expect us to bear fruit that lasts. And so, Lord, I can't do that on my own. I need your help. And so will you help us, Jesus? I know you will. That's your heart's cry. It's your heart's desire. Even as we take communion today, Lord, that, Lord, you would bring people to our hearts and minds that you are working in so that, Lord, we might partner with you wherever you have us, in the name of Jesus. Amen.